issues. Thank you, young ladies, for that. Boy, mums deserve so much more, and definitely say thank you. And that's the least we can do, is just say thanks for all of your work. And so often just quietly and unseen, and yet here we are with all of the benefits of that. And we're glad for our mums once again. We're going to look at a familiar passage of scripture to you in Luke chapter 10 and verses 38 to 42 is a familiar story there. And really, we're not here this morning either understating or overstating just how busy life can be as a mum, but just how busy life can be generally. We were yesterday, just as I was helping my dad, a couple of the men helped him move some things out of storage into the new place where they're going to live. And I was just in the car with one of the men, with Glenn Lukey, and we were talking about how different places in the world can be. And he's been to several different places ministering in his journey in life. And he was just recalling different places around the world where really it didn't matter. Time didn't really matter. You know, things just started when they started. And, you know, we live in a Western society where we have a different value of time. We try to make sure we're on time. We try to make sure that we're living in a disciplined way, is how we would call it. And we sometimes, in all reality, though, can become a slave to our schedule. And how life can become so full and packed with different activities. And you ever had weeks where you just don't know where the week went, but you know that you've done a lot, right? You know that somehow, some way, you've fitted as much of everything as you can. And in fact, the ironic thing is, even during holidays, during times when we should have a day off, how many times do we fill that and we have a schedule for that day as well? And sometimes life can become a little bit where we're pulled here and there. And much of it, I would hasten to guess, much of it is probably good. Good things. Getting to appointments, getting to activities that can enrich our lives and trying to fit in, of course, making that a priority, trying to serve God and trying to make the worship of God a priority. And we go through life, and life can pull us from this direction to that direction. We can feel like we're just overwhelmed a little bit. And we go through, and the pressures of our roles and expectations of those roles can pull us from here to there. And we're trying to, all of that, while we're getting pulled every direction, we're trying to hold it together. We're trying to make sure that all of those things that need to be done get done. And the problem with that at times is that our expectations of life aren't always met. And our roles can often surprise us in their reality. And I think this can lead to weariness. You know, I remember the time when we first became parents, and, you know, you take in all as much advice as you can. And everyone, as you know, when they find out that you're expecting, everyone has their opinion, right? Everyone has their piece of advice and the very thing that you need for this. And suddenly there's all of this advice that comes. And if we're not careful, those can build up expectations in our hearts. And I remember when we first took Vicky home, and I remember the joy, of course, that it filled our hearts as we finally brought her home. But I remember all of the advice and all of the different things that were told us. Man, they didn't even compare to how much actual work it was to have a child, right? And I'm not saying that because it's Vicky. I'm saying that because she's a baby, all right? And you understand, those of you who've gone through that, you understand that suddenly everything that you thought it was going to be, it's going to be much more. And suddenly everything that is needed to be done has to be done. And then on top of that, everything else that you were doing. And we suddenly find ourselves just being pulled from one direction to the other and all these expectations that are mounting, and that's just the reality of it. And one of the things that we understand about motherhood is that there's great weariness in it at times. What we understand is that you only get busier really when you become a mum. Suddenly there's a 2 a.m. call every 2 a.m. for a feed. And you know, you're looking at your husband and he hasn't at all awoken. And you're now there, and then there's nappies to be changed, and there's a routine to follow, and there's all the other activities of life. You have to run to church, you have to perhaps run to the shops and do the groceries and all of that, and then other things that need to occupy your time, probably your own self-care and your own fitness and your own health, and oftentimes those are the things that goes out the window. And we don't come here this morning not understanding the great burden that is. And yet there's a great principle in the Bible that there's a blessing in bearing burdens. Right? The Bible tells us where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is in the strength of the ox. And the whole idea of that is that it's not just that your house is going to get messier, right? The whole idea of that is that if you're willing to take on a burden, then that's going to, in turn, create a blessing in your life. And I think every mother here would agree that whilst there's great challenges in motherhood and whilst there's great challenges in the day-to-day and there's great weariness as a result, that after all of that and in all of the care that you give, there's great blessing and there's great joy as well. There's great moments that only you can share with that child, and there's great memories that you can have together as you get a little older and you can reflect back and look at old photos and you can recall all of those things. You start to recognize how God has richly blessed you and all of the joys that are included in that. And what more, as we see those young lives fit into the different things that God has for them. And I'm saying mothers deserve a great position of respect for all that is tasked them. And just like anyone else, they aren't perfect. And at times they can become weary, though, at their place in life. Someone said, W.L. Caldwell, who's an author, wrote back in 1928, he said this: "Well, may we pause to pay honor to her who, after Jesus Christ, is God's best gift to men, mother. It was she who shared her life with us when as yet our members were unformed. Into the valley of the shadow of death she walked that we might have the light of life. In her arms was the garner of our food and the soft couch for our repose. There we nestled in the hour of pain. There was the playground of our infant glee. Those same arms later became our refuge and stronghold. It was she who taught our baby feet to go and lifted us up over the rough places. Her blessed hands plied the needle by day and by night to make our clothes. She put the book under our arm and started us off for school. But best of all, she taught our baby lips to lisp the name of Jesus and told us first the wondrous story of a Savior's love." And what an extra blessing it is to have mums who have a great love for Christ, who have a great love for the Lord. What a great blessing it is. And I'm thankful, as I recall my own life, I'm thankful for a mum who prayed and a mum who loved her Bible and a mum who loved to serve the Lord. And I'm thankful that in all of that she endured through the weariness. And there's many of you in that situation right now. Ladies, none of us men have any doubt that you have a huge burden to bear. And we truly appreciate you and are mindful that we need to play our part ourselves for all of it to work, but we're not the solution this morning to the puzzle of motherhood. See, a helpful husband should be a given, but it's going to take more than us. And I'm saying, mums, you're valued. Your children need you, and they're hopeless without you, and you want them to cooperate and obey and do what they're supposed to, and at times they're even going to disappoint you and add to your burden. But even when at their best and they do turn out, I want to tell you that they're not going to satisfy you. There's still a tomorrow to contend with, and you know that the work, even when you feel like you've finally caught up with the laundry, is endless. And I believe that even in this time, the pressure has mounted, and at this time, there's a real sense of being weary by it all. And I want to tell you, if that's you, you're not alone. You know, each of us here can at times long for some hope in our exhaustion. And I want to tell you that the Bible offers you, mothers, and all of you who are weary, some encouragement during times of weariness. And really, that's what we find in our story here this morning. The Lord Jesus was now in earnest going out and preaching the gospel. And he had gone and really in many ways turned the religious beliefs of the day upside down. And he'd gone around and he'd sent 70 as well to go out into the different villages and cities around Judea there to go and preach the gospel. And he goes into this particular town about 3.2 kilometers away from Jerusalem to this little town called Bethany. And there, as he was preaching, this family takes them, he and his disciples, into their house, into their home. And the culture of the day was, if you were to take someone in of that was espousing a certain belief, that really it was a symbol that you were accepting or you were interested or you were going to partake in that belief as well. So here it was, Jesus had gone around, he'd gone into Bethany, this place that would soon become a regular stopping place for them. But they come into this time where Mary and Martha are in there. And evidently, Martha was the one that was really the expectation was on her to take on the work of hospitality. And so she goes in there and she's busy about, the Bible tells us, that she was cumbered about much serving. And you know, there's that whole idea that she was so busy that she was being pulled in every direction. That word cumbered means that you're being dragged from here to there, literally dragged to this responsibility, to that appointment, to that need. And she was being the hostess of the house, and she was cumbered about with much serving. And it's almost as she declared some things here, as she goes on to speak to the Lord and says, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?" You could almost sense the great weariness that she had. You could almost sense the great weariness that she was, that had come upon her as she just busied herself, and not with bad things, but with good things. And that's the trick of life, isn't it? You know, even good things take work. And in fact, the best things take most work. And so often when things that are needful and right to do and good to do come along, we can't set that apart from the reality that it's still work to do. It's still work. And so as a result of that, there's times where we go through a great weariness and we go through a great turmoil of how can I even continue to do this? And here, Martha simply asking for some help. I don't know if you've ever been there, mums. You look at the state of your of the day. You're looking at the things that you got to do, and sometimes all you want is, "Can somebody please help me?" Right? And so often, it's just that we hope, and when we say that mums, they just want someone to respond, right? To say, "Yes, I can help," without grumbling. And yet so often, sometimes when we give that call out for help, that sometimes there's this nothing coming back. And there's a cause here of Martha's weariness as we observe it. And notice again in Luke 10, verse 40, that she was cumbered about with much serving. You know, cumbered, again, is that word picture of something being dragged in every direction. You know, you ever watch a kite sort of just tied down and it's just being pulled by each drift of the wind. It's being that's that whole idea of being cumbered, being dragged to every direction. And she did though was she found her great purpose and her great value in what she was doing, and actually not who she was with. You forget that at times here that the Lord Jesus was in the house, and the cause of her weariness was that she was found just busy doing and not busy being with. You know, often the reason we're weary is because of the source of which we glean our energy from. You know, we so often find our value in just meeting expectations. We so often find our value, our point of value, in what we do. And you know, we as men, we're often guilty of that. When we introduce ourselves to people, we often, the follow-up question is, what do you do for a living? But sometimes in our world where it's so easy to compare, and it's so easy to make presumptions because we can put up a front and put up a facade and put up things on our social media feeds and come along and we get to the school car park and we're walking our kids in, that we suddenly put on our faces and we suddenly put on a demeanor of calmness when it was just chaos as we prepared to get here. That sometimes we can place our value on those things that we do and how well we do it. And I think this is where Martha was, because it was true, she was cumbered about with much serving. She was one who couldn't just let it pass those extra dishes that needed to be done. She just couldn't let it pass that her house wasn't quite what it needed to be, and she couldn't put those things down. But what she did do was she put away that time that she needed to be with Jesus. You see, in this we see three things, I think, that are false means of which motherhood can glean energy from, or we can glean energy from. At times these can become the directors of how and why mothers do what they do and feel what they feel. And I think firstly, it was a comparison to others. Notice what she said in Luke chapter 10, verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him, Jesus, and said, Lord, dost thou not care? And notice this, that my sister hath left me to serve alone. You know, what was immediately obvious to Martha was that there was someone else that was not doing what she was doing. And she was already in a place where, while she was doing the thing that she should have done, while she was doing the thing that, as someone to show hospitality, should have been doing, she was immediately comparing herself to the other in the room, her little sister Mary. And you know, the danger of comparison, sometimes that's what we glean ourselves from. If we're just better than the other person, if we just seem to have it more together than the other person, then I'm going to be okay today. And there's a great danger in that. You know, sometimes we can have the danger of going through even the Word of God, and we can look at the ideals of the Word of God and sort of the advice of the Word of God, and we can look at that and how can that be? And one of the areas, I know one of the chapters that sometimes it's a chapter in the Word of God but can be a little bit infamous to ladies, is Proverbs chapter 31, right? The virtuous woman. And we understand that as this was being written, that these are the very words of God. And there's a descriptor here of the many things that this virtuous woman can be. Look at Proverbs chapter 31, and let's continue to read here. Look at verse 10. It says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And notice it continues, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion of her mate to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hand. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. And you already, some of you ladies, you imagine this was the back in the day, really, this was the ideal. This was the Instagram mom that seemed to have it all together. And she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceived that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. And nothing's going wrong with this lady. What's wrong with her? Right? And she layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth forth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow. For her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Like, who's that prepared, really? And you're going through this and you could make the mistake of sitting yourself side by side by it and thinking, I'm not any of those, and feeling devalued. But I'm going to get to the essence of this passage later on. But sometimes we can look at life and we've got to be careful with the danger of getting your value from comparison. You're comparing your lot in life versus someone else's lot in life. And the Bible gives us that advice, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, they're not wise. And there's foolishness in doing that. And again, we're living in a time where we're so visual, we're seeing everything front and center. We can't avoid it. It's on our screens. And there's a great insecurity in comparison. And everyone, I want to remind you, only ever puts their best days on there. Right? No one takes a photo of a dirty room. There's no caption for that. There's not even a hashtag. Right? And we can put things up there that can signal to everyone else that we've got it together. But everyone else does that too. And they never put anything apart from their best days. But I want to tell you, that's not reality. Those are only temporary realities. And we've got to be careful to then compare ourselves with others and glean our energy from that. But then notice also, go back to Luke chapter 10. Keep your finger in Proverbs chapter 31. We're going to go back there. But in Luke chapter 10 and verse 40, notice what else she said. So it's true, she was much serving, she was busy. Notice what she said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? And notice the next thing that she gleans her energy from is just confidence in self. She was looking and she would say, she's left me to serve, I'm only. And you know what that is? There's an air of confidence, of self-confidence. And she was acting like she was some sort of superwoman going from one place to the next, and she was faster than a speeding bullet. And she was leaping over those piles of dishes and laundry. And she was going, and she was somehow, but notice a detail that the Bible gives us. And so Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. You know, that word also is important, because it just seems to me that the Bible's indicating for us there that Mary had done a little bit too. That Mary had contributed prior to receiving Jesus into their home. Because she also sat at Jesus. It wasn't the only thing she was doing. That word also means that there was another thing. And so it just seemed that perhaps Martha had forgotten that there was also some contribution, but she had prioritized something over the other. But what Martha was focusing on was that she was alone. It was me, me, me. And you know, at times when we're busy going through that, there's sometimes an incredible amount of confidence that we get for that. You know, I don't know if you're a list person. Any ladies here, you just love lists. Anyone? I'm a list person. I'm just a list person by nature. All right, I start the morning, I start with a list. All right, a list of things to do. And I'll tell you what, there's just an unhealthy satisfaction in my own heart when I tick that box. All right? And that when I come through a day when I've ticked all the boxes, I feel pretty good about myself. And I begin to, and the danger for us as human beings is that as we focus on that, then some pride and some self rises up. And we can sometimes fool ourselves into thinking we did all of that. We did it all. No one else could do it. I did it. And here Martha, I think, was going into a little bit of a syndrome as she busied herself in the duties of the day to just sort of look around and think, no one else is doing what I'm doing. No one else almost compares to me. And there's times where we've got to remind ourselves that actually, you know, we have these days and we can labor, but at times life can become just vanity. And often the cause of weariness is found in self-pride or self-reliance or even self-centeredness. And the best parents and the godliest of parents, really none of us can boast in ourselves. Why? Because no one is perfect. And it's dangerous for us to think that we've got it all figured out. And often the biggest weariness comes from self-disappointment. Why? Because we build ourselves up to such a degree that when we do fail, then we won't give ourselves grace. We won't allow ourselves to just admit our own weariness. We won't admit that actually we're needy. Why? How can I fail? Look what I've done. How can this be? And sometimes it's self-disappointment. And I want to tell you, no one has it all together all the time. No one. And we can all at times drop the ball. And at those times, we're going to need to just not rely on ourselves but remind ourselves that actually we're needy people. But then also notice what else she gleaned energy from. This was the cause of her weariness. She was centered on her achievement. Notice that she was cumbered about with much serving. You know, there was a certain pride in making sure that you were a good host. And no doubt, hospitality in their culture back in that day, it meant a great deal. Hospitality probably meant a greater deal back then than it does today. But she had this idea, not only was she supposed to be superwoman, but she was super host. You ever rented an Airbnb, right? You can rate them. And there's all those super hosts, and they'll do everything they can to keep that status of super host. Why? Because everyone wants to go to the super host, right? No one wants to go to a place and the review says, oh, they left everything on the floor, the bed was dusty, and it looks like they hadn't cleaned the kitchen after the last person. No one wants to rent a place like that. And so Martha wanted to continue to have this ideal. And this was a good thing, but the problem was it was an overbalance of it. And she was much serving, and that's where she found her great value, and it caused this great weariness. Why? Because she was centered on achievement. And you know, sometimes as mums, sometimes as parents, children can become the center of our achievement. Children can become the center of our universe. And all of our achievements are pinned on how they turn out and how they can be perceived. And I'm not saying that we just discount that and that we have no ambition for our children, but sometimes that's where we take our greatest pride. And whilst at times they can be the center, they need to be the center of our attention, I want to remind you that they can't become the center of our lives. That we can't pin all of our achievement on the production of the best children. And the Bible tells us that children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. And children, no doubt, are to be stewarded as precious gifts from God. But let's not allow the gift to be greater than the gift giver. See, children can become little idols of which we pin our hopes and pride on. I'm telling you, there's weariness in that. Because here's newsflash. When little Junior grows up, they're going to be imperfect too. And there's going to be things that you discover about them. And whilst we do all we can to prepare them and all we can to invest in them, there's going to be times where we're disappointed. There's going to be times where they let us down. And we better not pin our hopes and center our achievement. And there's a great weariness that comes from that. You see, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:14, "Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you." And there's a principle here he shares, "For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." And Paul is addressing the church in Corinth there, and he's saying, "I'm willing to bear your burden. I'm willing to take on the work to help you." And there's a great reward, as I said, in taking that on. But there's a great weariness when we have to keep it perfect. There's a great weariness when we center our whole identity and our whole life based on the achievement of producing the perfect. And we better be careful, because there's a great cause of weariness there. But notice what happened in the story. Martha eventually, she gives in and she says something. And so we note the cause of weariness, but Martha was cumbered about much serving, I'm glad, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Notice she addresses the Lord. And finally she breaks. She's a little bit pushy here. She's a little bit pushy to Jesus. She's a bit pushy to tell Jesus, hey, you need to do something about this. And I want to note here that there was not only what we learned, the cause of weariness, but we see the cry of weariness. There's a cry. Because all of us here, eventually, under the burden and the load of that, we have to cry out. And there's the cry of weariness. The resulting reaction to weariness is often to cry. You know, I've observed that many mothers cry. Many mothers cry daily at the weariness of it all, and not in joyful tears, but in tearful frustration and brokenness. And I want to remind you this morning that actually God hears our cries. And actually the Bible tells us that He remembers our tears. The Bible says in Psalm 56 verses 8 to 9, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." Someone said that crying is a part of motherhood we can't escape. And no doubt, when we go through weariness, that all we can do is cry out. And I want to encourage you that there is a need at times to cry out. And there's certain kinds of cries. There's a cry of despondency. Sometimes we're just despondent about the situation of life, and think about Hagar, who really, in the grand scheme of things, just was party to a plan that was not of God, and yet God still blessed. And you know the story, she gets kicked out of her home and she gets put out to the wilderness. And in Genesis chapter 21, she went out and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. You know, sometimes we go through situations in such weariness because there's nothing else we can do. We're despondent. And there's a great cry out. Often our cry is from a place of despondency. Maybe we're discouraged or disappointed, and we're at times in a place of disdain. And God's allowing it. Because God's breaking can at times allow then God's blessing. And despondency is really evidence that all that we have tried to lean on, it's failing. And we need to cry out because of despondency. Then we see the cry for help. I think of Hannah, who over the course of her marriage just could not bear a child. And so she wept. And she cried for help from the Lord. And then finally she was given that child, Samuel. And she notes something about Samuel as she gives him over to the Lord in 1 Samuel 1:27, "For this child I prayed, And the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. And often a mother's cry is a reach for help beyond what she can do. And I want to tell you, it's okay to be broken enough to cry for help. And it's a mother suffering in silence that often causes her to fall apart. And I want to remind you that maybe as you cry out for help, maybe there's no one else hearing. But I want to tell you that there is one who hears all the time and is listening. We have one who is an ever-present help. We have one who is the great comforter. Because at the end, there's not only a cry for despondency, a cry for help, but there's also a cry that's heard. You see, look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And notice Jesus' invitation here in verse 28. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There's a cry that's heard. There's a response to all who are weary, and he says, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." And your weariness and your corresponding cry is not lost on God. He hears you. In fact, he wants to come alongside you. And he wants you to take up that burden with him. And he's given himself to be a resource and strength. And you know, often in that whole picture of the yoke, that yoke was never equal. There was always one who was the junior partner in that yoke, and there was the senior partner in that. And Jesus is saying to you this morning, as you bear the burdens that I've given you, come into my burden. Why? He's saying, you're going to be the junior partner, and I'm going to be the senior partner. I'm going to be the strong one, and you need to come to me for your rest. And so often we try to bear our own burdens, and that's why we cry out. That's why we feel overwhelmed. That's why we feel the great weariness. And yet, here's the Lord Jesus. He's offering his strength to you and I. And that's where we come to at the end, because I love the fact that Jesus responds. Look at Luke 10 again, and then we'll be nearly done. Luke 10. And notice here, after all of the commotion, after all of the comparison and everything else, the causes of the weariness that Martha was going through, the cry that then inevitably comes out of her, notice verse 41, and Jesus answered. I want to tell you, sometimes we don't call out when we need to. And I want to encourage you, especially our mums here who are weary, I want to encourage you to call out, because Jesus answered. And Jesus can answer. He says to her, "Martha, Martha, this, when you get in trouble, your name isn't said twice, your full name is said once," right? But so this isn't Martha being in trouble, this is Martha being comforted. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha." This great gentleness in the Lord. He recognizes, notice, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." That wasn't an indictment. That was him affirming the reality that she was going through. You are troubled. You are full of care. And he's about to acknowledge her reality. But he also points out the real issue. Says, "Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful." And he says, "Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." And he recognizes the fact that she was full of care and troubled. She was weary. But he also pointed out to the fact that he was available. And the last thing I want to say is there's the Christ of weariness. So there's a cause of weariness, that's life. There's a cry, that inevitable cry as we're crushed under the weariness and the burden of it. But I want to remind you that there's a Christ of weariness. And look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And notice verse 16 with me. You know, the effort of that all is because we want to hold it all together. But notice what the Bible says in verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You know, the teaching there is by him, that by the Lord, he's the one that holds the whole world together. You know who can hold your life together? Only the Lord Jesus can hold your life together. He's the Christ of weariness. You know, on all the efforts we put in to hold everything together, we understand we have responsibility. I'm not saying that we suddenly forego our duties. I'm saying that there's a great reliance that we need, though. And too often our reliance is on our own strength, in our own efforts, and yet he's saying, come to me. And it's in him all things consist. That word consist means to be supported, to be maintained. And Jesus, I'm saying, needs to be the foremost and central figure in your life, but especially to our mums in your motherhood. His invitation is there for you. He says, come. Come, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Come, you who are weary. And he's going to give you rest. You need to enter into his yoke and be in partnership with him. And I'm saying Christ is enough. And he's your greatest source of strength. You see, too often we deal with the burdens of life as if the only way to get through is to alleviate them. And sadly, we live in a broken world where people do drop their responsibility. They don't want to bear that burden anymore. They just want to put it away. And yet the Bible tells us, come. In Hosea 6:1, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. And you know what it is? God's wounding of you in your responsibilities, in your motherhood, is for your shaping. But God's binding of you in your motherhood is for your healing. Elizabeth Elliot said it this way, the process of shaping the child shapes also the mother herself. Reverence for her sacred burden calls her to all that is pure and good, that she may teach primarily by her own humble daily example. You know what I realized? There's a few things I do just like my mum. But she never taught me. It wasn't taught, it was caught. As I observed the way she would address, she would handle things. And by the way, that's a scary thing, by the way. You ever seen yourself in your child? And you just go, that's me. I do that all the time with my kids, and then I just start to feel sorry for myself. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're teaching. But that whole process of that tearing and that being smitten by our burdens, that's also God's process of shaping us. And God is shaping you to be the example for the generation that will be born through you. And I'm saying he will hear your cry. And there is no higher height, someone said, to which humanity can attain than that occupied by a converted, heaven-inspired, praying mother. And we know the verse in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And he will hear your cry. And the impossibility of all of our responsibilities, the impossibility of motherhood can only be met by the power of a God who specializes in the impossible. He's saying he will hear your cry. He's going to be your model. He's going to teach. He said there in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, that as Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. You know, that whole idea was that she was being taught. He was trying to show her by example and by teaching those things. And so often what we need to do is just draw our instruction and draw our strength again just by sitting at Jesus' feet. And, you know, I want to remind you this morning that you're not a human doing, you're a human being. And that you need to come apart at times and come to be with your Creator, come to be with your God, come to be with your Savior, who will give you rest, who will from that rest draw out all of the power and all of the strength that's needed for that day. And so often what we do is we go to the doing and then we go to the rest. No, God's saying, come to the rest first. And out of that rest, I'm going to enable you to do all that you're supposed to do. He's going to allow you to come through and bear those burdens. And he's saying, I want to be your sufficiency. You need to rest in him. He needs to be your Sabbath. You need to take time with him, glean strength from him, come to that quiet place of solitude with your God. And how many times do we busy ourselves through the course of the day and suddenly the thing that's been cut out of our schedule is the very thing that's needful that Mary found. The one thing that's needful, and that's to sit at Jesus' feet. To just have that time of worship. To have that time of gleaning in his word, the very words of life that can breathe into you the second wind that you need for the week. The very God who actually knows best and knows and understands greatest your very burdens and your very deficiencies and your very weaknesses. And in all of that, he strengthens and he helps and he bears us up so that we can go forth in our day and maybe not perfectly, but give us enough grace and mercy to get through with great peace. And then importantly, with great joy. You see, too often what we sacrifice in all of our daily burden bearing, we sacrifice the very one who can bear all of our burdens. We sacrifice the time and we need to keep him as our center. He needs to be our focus. And there's a surrender of all that needs to take place by just being at Jesus' feet. And he's the one that'll hold your world together. I told you, we're going to turn back to Proverbs 31. So go there, and then we'll be done this morning. Notice, you know, we didn't read all of it because it was just getting too much, honestly. There was a lot. But notice, after all of the doing that this virtuous woman, here's the summary of it in verse 30. It says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. And here's what it is. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You know what's going to produce the very things that's needful for you? Is that if you just come down to that, if you would just be a woman that fears the Lord, if you would just put him in first place, if you would just make sure that all that you're doing is out of his strength and not your own. You know, she wasn't really anything, but all she did was a result of her fearing God. And the virtuous woman wasn't meant to be a model to compare yourself to. Here's what I say, ladies, she was meant to be a pointer to the true source of her virtue, her fear of God. Elizabeth Elliot said this job has been given to me to do. Therefore, it is a gift. Therefore, it is a privilege. Therefore, it is an offering I may make to God. Therefore, it is to be done gladly if it is done for him. Here, not somewhere else, I may learn God's way. In this job, not in some other, God looks for faithfulness. And she was referring to motherhood. And I want to encourage you, mums, that's the key to motherhood. Life, all of it has to be done God's way through God's enabling. And mum, I'm saying, don't despair. Actually, your help is near. Actually, your strength, it can be supported and helped and maintained. But it's not going to be through any other. You're going to have to get to Jesus' feet again. You're going to have to go from that rest to your effort, not from your effort to that rest. And if we do that, then we do it gladly and we see that God, by His enabling, will make you joyful and glad in the burdens that you bear. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We want to thank You, dear Lord, for the time. And I know, Lord God, that there's probably many other things we could have spoken about today, but I really sense, dear Lord, that too often in our weariness, we don't feel like we can go anywhere. Too often in our weariness, we just excuse it away as it's just life. And yet, Lord, we know that Lord, through the example of this story in the Bible of this one named Martha, that there was a solution for her, that there was one who greatly cared and, Lord, gave her the very advice that she needed, and that was to simply do the thing that's needful. And that's to come back to a fellowship and a closeness with You. I pray that You'd help each one of these ladies, Lord. We certainly, Lord, give them a great, Lord, great applause today for all of all that they do. But I pray that they would just be strengthened and helped just by their fellowship with You, and that, Lord, they would really make that a priority in their day, that they would walk with You, that they would find their joy and their center in You, and that, Father, they would see, Lord, that the burdens that You've given them can be borne, can be helped, but only by Your strength. And so I pray that You'd please help each one here with heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around, and we're going to have a time of invitation.